Philippians chapter 4, please, this morning, once again. If you'll stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read responsively through verses 1 through 9. You read out loud with me on the even verses. I'll read out loud by myself on the odd verses. Paul begins in here in chapter 4 and says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Thyssen that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord Yahweh, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Well, here we are studying this thing of prayer. And I hope that it's been a blessing to you thus far. And I hope that something or just somehow in some way, as this year has begun and we're already, two Sundays through February. And I hope that your prayer life has been helped. Maybe if you didn't have a prayer life, maybe you've started one. Or if you've had a good time of prayer with God and a purposeful time of prayer with God, I hope that it's been enhanced. Amen? Because listen to me, I promise you, among Christianity, those that are true Bible believers, they've trusted Christ, they have salvation, prayer is a very little used thing. And really probably a very little understood thing. And because a lot of times, if we don't understand something, we just don't use it, right? And we just kind of said, you can have the best smartphone in the world, right? But if you don't know how to use it, you're just going to set it aside, right? We were able to follow through with one of the budget items and get a new computer for the media and sound system and stuff. But if you don't know how to use it, I mean, what good does it do, right? So I'm glad we have people that know how to use it. Now, we don't want things in our lives that God blesses with us, to be just set aside. Well, we ought not just set aside the Word of God. You understand? You ought to read it. You ought to study it. You ought to meditate on it. You ought to hide it in your heart. You ought to use it, right? You ought to share it with other people. But why do we let something so powerful like prayer get set aside as well? Or really, and honestly and truly, something so special like the Holy Spirit of God to be set aside in our lives? We can think of lots of different things that God has given to us as gifts, if you will, that we just kind of set aside, mostly because we don't really understand them. So if we understand them, perhaps we'll pick them up and utilize them as we should. So as we get into this thing of prayer, and just for sake of expediency, I want to go through what I brought in as far as an introduction, the preparations for prayer. Paul writes here, and he tells them in verse 1 to stand fast in the Lord. We need to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, our Savior. If we're going to have any kind of effect or any kind of success with prayer, we need to stand fast in the Lord. Also, he says, to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 4. That's another preparation for prayer. We need to have our heart and relationship with God right. We do. The Bible says that sin and the ways of sin and the things of man and the things of this world are enmity against God. Okay? Now that means they're at odds with one another. Can you truly rejoice in someone that you're at odds with? No, you can't. So guess what? We got to get ourselves in line with God in order to rejoice in God and to rejoice in the Lord. So we need to align ourselves. Not only do we need to stand fast in Jesus Christ, but we need to align our lives, our mind, our spirit, and our fellowship with God. We need to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, he says. And then we said that we need to trust God. So we're standing fast in the Lord, and we're in line, we're in tune with Him. We have the same mind, the same heart, the same thoughts, the same joy as we ought to. And then we give everything over to Him. We yield completely. We trust in Him. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't sweat anything. Don't worry about it. Don't fret over it. Give it all to God. Let Him have full control. Let Him have full reign. Let Him be the one that's calling the shots. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. And guess what? If we do those things, we'll be ready for prayer. Because then, as the King, as the supreme being, we will come before Him because we know that in our own selves, we can do nothing. I can't control anything. I can't add to my stature. I can't put back the hairs on my head that have fallen off. I can't do that. I mean, I guess Bosley can, but, you know, I guess I can't. That was a joke, okay, yeah. It's some hair restoration system. I don't know, whatever it is. The kids in school used to make, you know, told me I need to go get Bosley. Whatever. I think it's, you know, I got a little shiny spot back here, you know. It's kind of fun. got to put sunscreen on or wear a hat, you know. But I can't do any of that stuff. I can't get myself to heaven. It's all in God's hands. So it's either all about God or not. I mean, when a servant comes to the King, when one comes before the supreme being, it's one who's standing fast in the Lord, one who's rejoicing in the Lord, one who's trusting in the Lord. So all those things are all about God. Prayer is all about God, folks. It's all about His majesty, His praise, His worship. It's all about Him giving us what we need. It's Him forgiving our sin. It's all about Him. Prayer is not about you. And it's not about what you need. And it's not about your stuff. And it's not, you know, it's about Him. And when we get that through our thick heads, we'll kind of understand prayer, won't we? So we talked about those things, the preparation for prayer. And then we talked about prayer itself. How, in a general sense, it's asking of the supreme being. It's addressing the supreme being. It consists of adoration. It consists of an expression of our sense of God, His glory, His perfection. It's a confession of our sins. Guess what our sin is against? Him. Okay, again, it's about Him. It's supplication for mercy and forgiveness. It's intercession for blessings for others. It's thanksgiving or an expression of gratitude to God for His mercies and benefits. So we talked about addressing God. And we ought to come to Him in humility. He is everything. We are nothing. He is infinite. We are finite. That's how it is. And then we included last week, we talked about what Paul said. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and, there's a coupling there, a conjunction, right? Putting things together, prayer, the solemn address, and supplication. And we talked about how supplication was an humble and earnest prayer. It was an entreaty. It was an urgency. There was an earnest petition, a pressing solicitation. That's what entreaty means. In other words, God, if you don't respond now, we're going to perish. God, this has to happen now. God, we really need something. I was explaining to my children that they do not understand what it means to be poor. They do not understand what it means to be hungry. They don't really understand what it means to be hot or cold. Folks, we have so many comforts in this life. Do we really understand what it is to need God now? I don't know if we do. I don't know if we do. We need to set ourselves outside of ourselves and really think about that. Think about it hard. I mean, what does it really mean to need God? Now, some have been through experiences where you say, Pastor, I've been in that circumstance and I know what it means. Okay, I'm glad you know what that means. And that now you understand what I'm talking about. Most of the time, we really don't understand it. We really don't know what it means to supplicate, to grab a hold of God. A lot like Jacob grabbed a hold of that angel and wouldn't let him go. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. When's the last time you had a time of prayer like that? God, I'm not letting you go till you give me an answer. That's what that means. Now, I'm glad Paul is very thorough. He says, but in everything, by prayer, so that we got the solemn address and supplication, we have the entreaty, we have the humble and earnestness, the humility and earnestness in prayer and in worship and in requesting and petitioning and soliciting God, the Supreme Being, for what is needed. And then he says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, the actual definition of prayer included thanksgiving. It included gratitude. The model prayer, which we will look at in great detail, also includes thanksgiving and gratitude. Again, now we're talking about the attitude of the prayer, which is you and I. We are coming to God, His throne. God says that we're supposed to come boldly before the throne of grace. That doesn't mean walk in like you own the place. That just means go ahead and proceed without fear. You are welcome here. You are allowed to be here. You are wanted here before me in my throne room. Okay, that's boldly, that's what it means. Okay? Not brashly. All right? And not casually, like, yo, God, what's up? You know, whatever that is, I don't know. I probably just did something bad. Who knows? I get my hat on backwards, you know, wear my pants around my knees, you know, whatever. The people today, right? No, God's not your buddy. He's God. So we come before Him. God is the supreme. We need something. We are subject to Him. That's what this is all about. But we have the right attitude. We just sang the chorus. Thank you, Brother Camp, for that. The Lord is good. He's good. Let me read to you what thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is rendering thanks for good received. It's the expression, it's the rendering of thanks, an expression of gratitude for favors and mercies. Folks, listen. God is good. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is long-suffering. God is loving. God is kind. You understand? God is these things. Therefore, I, the recipient of God's gifts, should be what? Thankful. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't received anything good from God. Oh, really? That's surprising. Hold on. Let's do a goodness of God test. Everybody go. Okay. And now go get a mint from the bathroom there. Hello. Where do you think life comes from? Where do you think the ability to suck air comes from? That's what I like to call breathing. It's just more me. It comes from God. You know, you can't do that of your own accord. It's only by the grace of God that we can do that at all. Isn't it? It is. So there's lots to be thankful. But here's the thing that I thought was interesting about this word Thanksgiving. It doesn't mean turkey and sweet potatoes and pumpkin pie and, you know, that's what we think Thanksgiving means. No, it means that word rendering. Rendering thanks for good received. The act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude. In other words, that word rendering means I'm the one doing it. And guess what I'm doing it of, rendering. I'm giving it of my own free will. In other words, it's my idea. Nobody's making me. I don't have to. I'm giving it up. I am coming before God and saying, God, this is for you. I want to do this. You're not over here saying, you will. Right? And I'm saying, okay, but I don't want to. You know, it's not like that. You understand that there's obedience is good, right? But willful obedience is best. When I'm not obeying because I have to, or for fear of punishment, but because I want to. You see, as a teacher, those of you that are teachers, we try as teachers to get kids to want to learn, not have to learn. If I can flip that switch in a kid's head, I've done a great thing. I'm really, that's what all of us teachers, we try to get to that, don't we, teachers? I'm looking at my teachers over here. Got lots of teachers over here. There's some teachers over here too. Isn't that a wonderful thing when you can flip that switch in a kid when they go from I have to be here to I want to be here? So you know, I have to take this test or I want to, you know, I have to do this homework or I want to. Well, if we can get that switch flipped, that's an amazing achievement. And folks, listen to me. We don't have to thank God for anything. We get to. We get to. Paul says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, he says. In Leviticus chapter 7, in verses 11 through 15, the Bible tells us, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and the cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Y'all should have just amened and rejoiced and hooted and hollered, you Southerners. Everything's better fried. Y'all missed that, didn't you? This is why hush puppies are great, you know, funnel cakes, corny dogs. I mean, it's all better fried. Okay, I thought y'all would have liked that better than that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Minter. I appreciate that. Amen. I had that highlighted. I thought you were all going to cheer and shout me down off that one. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. In Leviticus 22, Moses goes on to write, and when ye will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Isn't that amazing? Mr. Webster kind of knew a little bit about the Bible, you understand? And he put in that definition that it's the rendering of thanks. And that word is specific, and it's of our own will. We get to do it. And Paul says, look, when you pray, pray in everything, add supplication, and offer thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It's to be offered at our own will. Why? Because we are thankful to God. Because we want to thank God. It's in our heart to thank God. Nehemiah chapter 11 and Nehemiah chapter 12. I have a couple of passages here. Mattaniah was the son of Micaiah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph. Now, if you know anything about Asaph, he was one of the musicians in David's time. This guy was one of the Levites, special guy, very musical. Passed this on to his son, his grandson, and great-grandson. It says this Mattaniah guy, during Nehemiah's time, was the principal. In other words, he was the head. He was the one over all of this. He was the principal for what? To begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And Bakbukiah, the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shemua, the son of Gal-al, the son of Jeduthun. Now, if you know Jeduthun, that's where my son Ethan gets kind of his biblical namesake, if you will. He's also known as Ethan in the book of Psalms. Jeduthun and Ethan, same guy. This was another musician. Have you read the Psalms, right? You've seen Jeduthun, you've seen Ethan, you've seen Asaph, right? A psalm of Asaph. Okay, these guys wrote these psalms. They were musical, if you will. And these are a thanksgiving. They were the principal. They were the ones in charge of beginning the thanksgiving in prayer. Chapter 12, verse 8, Nehemiah goes on to record, moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Ben-Nui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah. There's Mattaniah again. Which was over the thanksgiving. He and his brethren. There were Levites set up and in charge of this as a job. It was their job to begin things in thanksgiving, in prayer. Nehemiah chapter 12, later on in the chapter, verse 44. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph, okay, we're mentioning this, I'm building kind of a foundation for you to understand this. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers, that word chief, that principal, right? The head guy. The songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel, in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters, every day his portion, and they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. In the structure that God put forth for Israel, through these people, the Levites, and giving them their assignments and things, thanksgiving is mentioned. Tending to the altar is mentioned. Keeping the chambers is mentioned. Bringing in the tithes is mentioned. Thanksgiving is mentioned. There was a core of people of the Levite order that were given to thanksgiving. That ought to be amazing to you. That was amazing to me. That God said, I want this guy and this guy and his cousin and his brother and, you know, this guy. These are the guys I want to be in charge of beginning everything in prayer with thanksgiving. I think that's amazing. Yet most of the time when we offer prayer and supplication, there's very little thanksgiving. There seems to be a lot of complaining. I did not notice in this order of structure that either here in Leviticus or in Nehemiah or anywhere else, is there an order of the priests that were instructed to be over the complaining. Did you see that? I missed that. Did I miss that in the... Maybe it's in the fine print somewhere between the lines. There's not. You say, but there's a lot of things wrong in my life, Pastor. Can I tell you something? You might think that. Because you're human just like I am. Anybody ever watch the news? I don't watch the news. I purposely don't watch the news. You say, don't you want to know what's going on? If the news were about what's going on, I would watch the news. The news is not about what's going on. You know what the news is? It's all complaining. It's everything that's bad, right? Everything that's wrong in this world. That's all it's about. Negative, 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 negative. You know what we are? Negative, 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 negative. When we come to God, solemn request to the Supreme Being, entreaty, right? We described what that was. Standing fast in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord always, right? With the right spirit, the right attitude, and we're doing it trusting in the Lord. In other words, He knows better, I don't know better. Now I can come. The requests are according to His will. They're in His name. They're through the mind of Christ. They're the right kind of requests. There are necessary things that it's getting a right relationship with God, maintaining fellowship, forgiveness of sins, but it's for my benefit, but mostly it's for His benefit because then I can be a better servant of God. It's all about Him. It's not about me. Guess what I'm going to naturally do with thanksgiving? Because everything that He's putting in my path and bringing down the pipe is good. Because God is good. And I'm going to render thanks for good received. For favors received. For mercy received. And that's how it works. This is how prayer works. We've got to understand it. Several verses in Psalms. David says, judge me, O Lord. For I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. What does that sound like to you? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 69, verses 29 through 34. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your hearts shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, is it a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest? What do we recognize most about the time in the wilderness? Complaining and unthankful people. Psalm 100. I love Psalm 100. I've preached through Psalm 100 before. It's just a great psalm. I left the title in here. I usually delete them when I'm doing my compilation of scriptures. But I left this in here because it's listed in the Bible as a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Folks, this is what this is about. This is what this thing of prayer is that we need to understand. Yes, it's a solemn request unto the Supreme Being. Yes, it's entreaty. God, we need you. We're petitioning you. We must have you in our lives with thanksgiving. God, you're good. All you do for us is good. All you give to us is good. You are the definition of good. And we praise you and are willfully giving thanks unto you. Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Folks, do you understand? It's a willful thing. I'm going to do it. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I know it's cliche, but we've got to have that attitude of gratitude, folks. God is good. God is merciful. God is benevolent. God is favored toward us. He wants us. Do you understand? For God so loved the world that he gave. He wants you to have salvation. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants you to have an abundant life. He wants you to have all the blessings that could be possibly poured out from heaven to us. He wants that for you. Isn't that good? That's who our God is. But many times when we go and pray, we don't think that way. That's not the perception we have of God. It's God, why don't you? God, why can't you? God, why won't you? Or God, why haven't you? I'm waiting, God. Now's a good time for that $1 million I'd like to have. You owe me, God. Huh? God doesn't owe us anything, folks. Somehow, some way, we've got this whole prayer thing mixed up. We think it's about us. And it's not about us. It's about him. When we realize these things of prayer, when we realize that it's a solemn address to the Supreme Being, when we realize that it's the entreaty, the earnestness, the urgency, when we realize that it's about trusting him and that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When we realize that we're supposed to come with thanksgiving because he is the definition of good, then we can understand prayer. And we willfully come, we willfully bring, we willfully do it with the right attitude, with the right spirit, with the right mindset, we then pray. And something like the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much can happen. But when we come holding on to our iniquity, when we come holding on to our pride, when we come holding on to the things of this world, how can we pray effectively? We must relinquish all of that and willfully come before him. So many more scriptures. I know we're out of time today, but I've got two more pages of scriptures to read to you. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Colossians. Paul writes, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Remember, established in the faith. We talked about that being the preparation for prayer. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he says this. I thought it was curious that he started with that being established in the faith and established in Christ and do it with thanksgiving. That was another time in the scripture where it says something's to be, thanksgiving's to be added to something else, like prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Just take those two words and type them into your computer search there and look where it says with thanksgiving. Well, what should we add thanksgiving to? Well, prayer, supplication, right? But also this thing of being established in the faith and being established in Christ, rooted and built up. He says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. See, that's where this thing of mankind and the reasoning of man comes in. It spoils our thanksgiving. It spoils our with thanksgiving attitude, vain deceit, and the things of men. We have to beware that we don't succumb to that. Because the devil will sit on your shoulder if you give him place, and he'll say, God isn't good. You say, oh, God, the devil can't do that. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. What did he tell Eve? Oh, yeah, God's good and all, but, you know, he's keeping you from knowing this stuff. God's holding back on you. Eve, you need to check it out. God's trying to keep you from something. And he's sitting on your shoulder saying, God's not good. He's not letting you do this. And he's not letting you have that $1 million. And he's not letting you have a comfortable lifestyle. And God, what's it doing? It's spoiling your thanksgiving. It's spoiling your prayer. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. You say, how did you link this with Genesis? Rudiments of the world is how I linked it. And not after Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? There's so much to learn about this thing of prayer. We've got to try to understand it. Now, I'm going to quit, I promise, after one more verse. Revelation chapter 7. I love this. Because this is what's going to be like one day in heaven. Well, it's like what it is now. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That's a good pun there. Okay. Y'all missed that one. Okay. Some of you laugh. Thank you, laughers. I love you. All right. Palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. The next time you set out to pray, remember what Paul has told us. He loved these people. They were his joy and his crown. He longed for them. And he wanted them to in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving approach God in their lives. And can I say to you, church, that's what I want for myself. And that's what I want for you. To understand prayer. Now, by no means, in any way, shape, or form, are we done with this topic. We've just started. Okay, this is the beginning. But I think we have enough to get a glimpse of what prayer should be like. Will you pray that way? Will you incorporate these things in prayer? Will you prepare yourself to pray?
Will you solemnly address the Supreme Being? Will you entreat Him? And will you do it all with thanksgiving? Rendering of your own free will, thanks unto God, because good has been received. Mercy has been received. Favor has been received by the hand of God to us, His people. We need to pay our vows. We need to offer of our own will thanksgiving.